What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Off the ball track.
I was enjoying the heat chat just a second ago. I managed to catch that. It's one of my top five. So that brightened my morning a little bit.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
You're listening to OTB's Breakfast Bite.
Yeah! At 8:54 a.m. on this Friday morning's Off the Ball Breakfast, delighted to welcome to the show a bit of darts. Mickey Mansell, good morning, Mickey.
Morning, lads.
Thanks for jumping on. You have advanced to the televised ranking quarterfinal at the Grand Slam of Darts over in Wolverhampton. I mean, you must be buzzing with this. The last few days, I'd say, have been fairly mental for you.
Yeah, they have. I look, I suppose being on TV and getting the run of days back to back is a big thing, like, you know what I mean, and raises the profile a wee bit, obviously.
A first televised quarterfinal for you, is that right?
It was in the semi final of the World Cup, I think 2012 or 13 along with Brenton. So as an individual thing, yeah, it was my first quarter final televised one.
What was the most satisfactory win of the Grand Slam so far? I know you had games against James Wade. The Danny Knapper performance was brilliant as well. But what stood out to you as the most, I guess, consistent performance?
I suppose against Danny was a big win, you know, but it probably started with beating Wade, you know what I mean? That gives you the foothold on the group. You know, the first game, obviously, if you lose it, you're probably backs against the wall in a group sort of format. So a win at the very start, it kind of gives you a better chance. So probably the first game sets the tone, and that kind of everything rocked on from that, you know.
Can you tell before a tournament like this that you're going to upset the odds? Like, you come in as a bit of a dark horse, in fairness, and yet did you feel the way you're thrown before the tournament started that something special might be happening, or is it just you've just gained confidence as you've gone along?
No, well, I had come out of the qualifiers, you know, on the Thursday the week before. Well, I had a week off, and then the second 2 weeks prior to the last Pro Tours, which was the qualifying for the World Championship. So I was going into the M2 tournaments knowing I was under a bit of pressure to get a qualifying place or to get the last spot sort of in the World Championship, which thankfully after 2 days I did. So on that Thursday, it was confirmed that was the end of the qualifying for the World Championship. So there was a bit of relief and a bit of tension whenever the numbers came in and I knew then I had qualified for the World Championship. So on the Friday then was this day of fortnight was then the qualifying for the Grand Slam. So just got up that morning and changed a set of darts. So just put different points, nothing different in the actual darts. It was just a different set of points that I kind of used them. And first game I played Matt Campbell at 110 average. I beat him 5-0. And then I beat Barneveld. Beat him 5-2. I beat Jules Van Dongen. And then beat German Price to qualify. So that just was how things changed in a day, really, you know.
Hiya, Mickey. I'm very interested in like the day in the life of a darts player now. So ahead of the quarterfinal, what's your daily schedule looking like for the rest of the day? Is there a lot of practice, or do you try and stay away as much as possible?
No, there's no practice. So this morning is obviously just a bit of rest. I'll go for breakfast here now. I'll come back to the room, probably watch a movie or something like that, just to kill a few hours, get to lunch. I'll eat about 1 o'clock or so, get a good sort of packing in me, and then it's back up and getting dressed or ready for the head of the venue, probably about 3 o'clock or so. So you'll be in, I expect to be in the venue in around shortly after three, you know. So that's where how it just the day prepares, you know. And that's the way it has been. I've been fortunate. Fortunate and unfortunate. Some people don't like being on first or whatever. Yeah. But the last, I think, the four games that I've played, bar one, which was Owen's third, but I've been Owen first, so it's the same routine and it's worked so far, so happy days.
Do you get nervous? And if so, do you use those nerves to your advantage? Do you try to anyway, at least?
If nerves, it means it's important, so you know what I mean? But yeah, you get that. It's just dealing with the situation, you know what I mean? I'm very fortunate. A good few years ago, I come across a fella, Tom Hearn, up in Killyleagh, and he was very good. He showed me a lot of techniques and how to deal with sort of situations, you know.
Mickey, it sounded like a weight was lifted off your, you know, when you qualify for the World Championships and you get that done before qualifying, because those names you mentioned that you beat in qualifying, like to beat Van Barneveld and Gerwyn Price, like that must fill you with some serious confidence.
Yeah, well, I suppose maybe anybody that's not following darts all the time, you know, when we're playing on the pro tours, we're playing these boys week in, week out, you know, we're all playing against each other. So the narrative to somebody else that, oh, somebody can't beat somebody, or, you know, we are playing each other all year. So, you know, I wouldn't be lacking in confidence in playing anybody, because I've played them all during the year and there's no difference. The only difference is moving us whenever it gets to this stage, to the TV stage, is bringing a sort of that mentality to the TV. As I say, the only advantage with a lot of the top players players on down the rankings is they're on TV so much, you know what I mean? There's so much experience now between Premier Leagues and the amount of tournaments. Like, one fella could go at the start of the year, the top 16 players could be on TV probably 20, 30 times a year. You know, if you're on down the rankings at outside, say, 40 and beyond, you know, if you're getting a televised tournament once a year or whatever, you know, it's a massive break from one televised event to the other for trying to qualify for them. So I suppose that's just how some people react differently. It's not that they can't play darts or whatever. It's just so hard to get on TV regular.
Is it difficult to replicate in practice when it comes to live competition because of how boisterous the crowds are in competitions? Like, how do you replicate that atmosphere and pressure? Because I presume, Mickey, it's much easier throwing darts at home or wherever you practice versus the actual live event.
Definitely is. Well, I think that's another thing probably where the PDC has evolved. The European tours, you know, there's qualifiers now. There's 13 European tours all over Europe. And they're run pretty similar to a TV event. They're live streamed. There's crowds, the walk-ons, the whole thing. So throughout the year, if you're qualifying for them, they're probably a bigger advantage. They, you know, they're the stepping stones for TV events. As I say, if you're not, the last TV event was the Grand Prix or the match play, then there's a massive gap till the UK Open at the start of the year. So if you're in them European tours, or you can qualify for them European tours, they're the ones that really set the stone and give you, you know, sort of, you become used to it through them, because, you know, if you're in Germany or whatever, they're a boisterous crowd, so, you know.
What's the dart scene like in Ireland, Mickey, at the moment? Like, even in pub league level, like, you see the likes of yourself and Keane Barry, of course, coming through as well. Well, he's more than just come through at the moment, but is it exciting at the minute in terms of youth ranks? Are there players coming through? Is there interest that's shot up maybe because of the Littler effect?
Yeah, it's even before the, you know, darts is very, very big. You know, it's probably we've been really a bit unfortunate, because we had a qualifying competition called the Tom Kirby, and it gave any Irish player, amateur Irish player, an opportunity to get into the World Championship, which myself, I have won it, and it gave me my first opportunity, and Keane was in it as well. William O'Connor has won it, Connie, Mick McGowan, all have won the tournament, and that was a stepping stone. But because we have so many players actually on the tour, I sit at the table with the rest of the boys, I think there's maybe 10 or 11 Irish boys between the north and the south, all on the tour. So since COVID really came in, and the City West was kind of, that was taken off the calendar, we have lost that competition, you know, which is a great shame. But I suppose from the PDC end of it, they're thinking they don't need to promote darts in Ireland, because there's 10 or 11 boys on TV or on the tour, and everybody's following suit. So if you're going through the development tour and the challenge tour, there's a lot of Irish boys travelling over. You know, it is a very competitive market now, I have to say. You know, very good.
It's good to hear. So it's Cameron Menzies tonight, Mickey, for you, as you said, this evening in Wolverhampton. Are you starting to dream now? Like, we've had Glenn Durrant on the show before, and that 2020 Premier League win probably came a little bit out of the blue for a lot of people looking from the outside in. Are you thinking similar lines at the moment, or are you just taking it one game at a time, I suppose?
No, look, I keep the narratives for everybody else to think, you know what I mean? At the end of the day, I just breaking it down and keeping it simple, you know what I mean? It's I'm playing Cameron Mendes, a game of darts, and hopefully I win, you know, that moves on to the next game. You know, if you keep thinking of what's ahead of you and what's on offer and all, you know, you're taking your eye off the ball. You know, that's just how I've looked at every game so far. You know what I mean? It's the man in front of you. I'm trying to beat him and performing, and hopefully it's good enough, you know.
100%. A great laid-back attitude to have. Listen, Mickey, you've been great with your time. Enjoy the breakfast and best of luck this evening.
All right, boys. Thanks a million. Thank you. Good luck.
Brilliant stuff. Mickey Mansell will be in action this evening. Watching that game now with a bit more interest, of course. Want to see Irish players do really well, but that's a very winnable match for him this evening, so who knows.
Super exciting and on TV for people to watch. I wonder, like...
The Clonoe Cyclone, by the way.
Clonoe Cyclone from Dungannon.
Yeah, there you go.
I wonder when the professional darts players are in pubs and there's a dartboard.
Yeah. Are they like...
We've got Formula One driver driving to the shop, say.
Oh, yeah. Milk. Or Ronnie O'Sullivan playing the pool in the local... Yeah. I'm sure it happens. I'd say in darts particularly it happens because that's where the dartboards are. The pub league dartboards are, so...